3 because the Kings are 3-0 on this road trip.
Ooh, I like it. I like it a lot.
Going for 4. 916-339-1140. Caller number 3. Folsom Lake Honda Hotline right now for your pair of tickets to see Eddie Griffin.
So good.
I'm out on Clay. I'm sorry. I'm out on Clay. And I love Clay. Everybody loves Clay.
Everybody, even in Sacramento. Even I love Clay Thompson.
Yeah.
Like I've got no shame in saying that, you know, scaffolding Clay, all-time great. Clay on his little speedboat with Rocco.
Yeah.
Come on. Doesn't get better than that.
Do you remember the when he tried the 360 slam dunk in China?
China Clay. China Clay was a vibe.
Clay was definitely a vibe, but I'm sorry, Clay. It's not gonna happen.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think he's got value, like you said, but yeah. I don't know.
I think he's just in a different part of his career, I guess you could say. It's just, it feels like he's got a lot of name brand value. Like, it's just, you hear Klay Thompson and you're like, whoa, we're gonna try and make a move for Klay Thompson. But the reality of the situation is just it's not that glamorous. And it feels like, again, he's going to go to a team where that name value is going to carry something. And that's why the Lakers seem to make a lot of sense. But I just think if anybody at this point is trading for Klay Thompson, I think that they're hoping for, they're hoping a lot of marketing and yes, one last hurrah. And it's not that Klay can't provide anything. He's still a really good shooter. He's able to play defense. It's not like he went from guarding people's best ball handlers to just completely being a turnstile. But, you know, it's just, if you're trading for Klay Thompson, you can't expect to get the guy that you've seen on the Warriors all these years. Mm-hmm. He's just not that guy anymore. And, I mean, you got to think to yourself, hey, why are the Warriors trying to trade Klay Thompson? This seems like the kind of guy who should retire a Warrior and should have a statue built in front of Chase Center.
It doesn't happen like that for a lot of players.
No, it's not. No. In the words of, I think it was Draymond Green, they don't love you like that. You're not Kobe.
Well, I think they do love him like that.
I just mean, you know, not everybody gets the swan song. Not everybody gets the final game with the big clap off and all that stuff. And, you know, a lot of the times it does end with, you know, Tony Parker ends his career with the Hornets and, you know, Vince Carter goes all around the world all that stuff. So, while it might, you know, and that applies for Steph too, but it definitely feels like now would be a really good time to just kind of separate from Klay and maybe he can have a little bit of a second career with some other team just for a couple years.
You can make the argument they loved him too much with that contract.
Yeah.
If he didn't love you too much, maybe... maybe you are able to stay, but that wasn't the situation. And now, and then he turns it down again. They offered him again over the summer, and he said,
I mean, I'm not taking less than Draymond. Draymond, what, gets $25 million a year after this offseason?
It depends.
If I'm Klay, though.
At that time, no. Yeah. But Klay didn't expect this to happen. We have a quote here from the newest Miami Heat, Terry Rozier, the Heat look to get off their 7-game losing streak tomorrow night against, of course, the Kings. Terry Rozier says losing in Miami is different than losing in Charlotte. Here's the quote. It's totally the opposite. In Charlotte, you're kind of used to losing. It's in the DNA. Over here, it's the total opposite. Nobody wants to lose. Nobody is fine with it. Close quote. So
yeah,
So here, I have a question.
Yeah.
Before we get to Truck Smart.
Yeah.
After this game tomorrow night, the Kings have their back-to-back with the Pacers and the Bulls all on the road, right? Kings have kind of skated by. The Heat are digging deep for a win. I mean, losing 8 in a row just seems unfathomable. If the Heat come out, remember they used to wear those shots with LeBron, white hot?
Yes.
If the Heat come out white hot, and it's just halftime, the Kings are down 30. Mm-hmm. I would never be okay with the loss, but I would say coming up against a back-to-back, I'd be okay with looking at the bigger picture and say, Mike, give this about half the third and and get your guys ready for your trip to Indianapolis.
Yeah, no, I mean, if it's that bad, definitely. You're in the middle of the longest road trip of the year. Mm-hmm. You just had a pretty low energy performance against Memphis. If you come out low energy again, to your point, maybe it is just maybe these guys are really tired in the middle of the road trip, in the middle of the season. And, you know, yeah, you're on a 4-game win streak. You can afford to drop one. Mm-hmm. One.
Yes.
And, yeah.
It is a back-to-back.
To your point, too, if it's for the bigger picture of the problem, the thing then becomes, y'all better bring it against those two teams.
There's
no excuses after that.
I get that. But it might be worth it.
Definitely.
And that, to me, ensures that you would get one. Because you don't want to sleep on the Bulls. I would hate for the Kings to just try to push this thing. You end up losing to the Heat, and now you have your back-to-back.
Cost you another game.
And now it could cost you three.
Yeah.
So,
and that's a terrible way to end the road trip.
Because now you're three. You'd be 3-3, and now the Cavs are waiting for you.
Yeah, exactly. And that's not an easy matchup either. So,
you guys were talking about the Hornets, the culture.
Yes.
Terry Rozier was talking about that.
Yeah,
did you happen to see that video? Of
yes,
last night,
after
their coach
laughing.
Got ejected, they're all.
It's a joke.
I think it's a bad look, but I don't think it's as bad as it's being made out to be.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where people just did it the other day with the Kings. Remember De'Aaron dapping up KD after the game, and Malik was talking with the ref. You know, it's a little bit different because the Kings aren't in a losing situation anymore, but. You know, it's one of those things where fans don't like to see, but it is kind of the reality. Like, what is LaMelo just? Are they just supposed to be depressed the entire time? Like,
LaMelo's not even playing, which is I think he had been. I don't know if he's injured again, but that place is a mess. That organization is a mess.
Malik talked about it the other day. As a matter of fact, when the Kings were on the 4-game losing streak, Jason Anderson asked him like, "Hey, things are kind of reeling here. How do you bounce back, or how do you deal with the emotions?" And Malik's answer was. Well, in Charlotte, 4-game losing streak wasn't that bad. It's kind of normal, actually. So, you know, that's the kind of thing where, you know, to Terry Rozier's point there, too, that's the worst part is the cancer of losing becomes contagious and it becomes something that you just kind of live with. And you know, it doesn't feel different to lose games and you don't have that disdain. And I think once that kind of thing seeps into your locker room, it's a wrap. There's it's so tough to come back from that.
Yeah, this is from the 916. Just a little note. Just saw this and wanted to share. Among players who have guarded at least 40 isolation possessions, Keegan Murray has allowed the fewest points per possession. Opponents are shooting 16% against Keegan in ISO. His vast improvement in on-ball defense, screen navigation, and physicality have been noteworthy. From the 916. Very well written, 916. Yeah. That is the text of the day.
I could understand
916.
It. That's great.
That is the text of the day from the 916.
Absolutely. Not even close.
16.3%. He's allowed the fewest points among players who have guarded at least 40 isolation possessions. Mm. That's insane.
So how about that, Jimmy Butler? Like I said earlier, Jimmy Butler is going to look at Keegan and say, "Oh, you guys are going to ISO.
Yeah.
You're going to let this kid guard me.
Back down. Your little fade away.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You get the Keegan clamps. The Keegan clamps, Jimmy.
Better look out. Yeah. Those are great numbers. And I mean, that's the development of Keegan, and that's where it's really nice, especially to see HB shooting so well because. Mm. You see, you know, on a night like last night, I think Keegan ended up with 14 shots and HB ended up with 15. Like, if HB can kind of handle a little bit more of that offensive load, it allows Keegan to defend at a higher level. And I think that's just a little extra bonus of HB playing well and Kevin Huerter, too. I think when either one of those guys are hitting shots, it just allows Keegan to focus a little bit more on defense because Keegan's shot making then becomes a little less crucial for this team.
Do you think Keegan feels that throughout the game?
He's clamping people or the
no,
if,
no.
They're,
if
they're hitting
if they're
then.
Kind of cold, okay, I gotta go into two-way mode here.
I'm sure he gets a sense of it, but it probably is it's definitely one of those unspoken things, but I'm sure he probably has a sense of okay, the ball's just not really finding me and it hasn't found me. Or it could literally be something discussed as well. I mean, it could have been something, you know, there's a pretty hard line drawn in terms of Harrison Barnes. It seems like game 42, quite literally the start of the second half of the season, really picked his game up. So maybe it was always in the plans to use the first 41 games to kind of throw Keegan Murray into the fire. And then the second half of the season, you could maybe infer that they are like, hey, let's do the things that got us to the playoffs last year. And, you know, it's been great. Keegan obviously is going to determine the overall ceiling of this team. But for this year, this season, it feels like we should utilize Harrison Barnes and Kevin Huerter a bit more while we still have them and while Keegan might need a little relief.
Because, again, another bizarre game last night to where you don't have Harrison Barnes wasn't really balling.
No, two
right?
of 10. For
I mean, Huerter kept people afloat or kept the team afloat with 17, but yeah Keegan only took 7 shots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he only took 7? Wow.
So it's, and he wasn't necessarily running around locking anybody up.
Yeah, who? John Conchar?
Yeah, right. Like, I mean, my guy.
Clamps.
Yeah, you know, was he running around locking up Scottie Pippen Jr. Yeah. and Jacob Gilliard?
Yeah.
Oh, so,
yeah.
Again, just a weird game in general, but it's the development. We keep coming this to caterpillar season for Keegan Murray, but you could still, you know, maybe the butterfly might come a little bit earlier than we think. That's also a possibility. It's always a possibility. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, Truck Smart Drive of the Week up next. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Time for the Truck Smart Drive of the Week, brought to you by Truck Smart, your premium retailer and installer of truck and SUV accessories for over 30 years. Your truck's gonna love them, and we loved all of these plays. The Truck Smart Drive of the Week, Chris Watkins, take it away.
Yeah, I'm sure people can guess one of the plays that'll be involved here. Should we just do it off the top? I guess we should probably just do that one since everybody's probably guessing it's going to happen. And of course, we're talking about the catch that was the immaculate deflection, the B.A. Ricochet.
The B.A. Ricochet, I saw the fluke to Aiyuk.
The fluke to Aiyuk is not bad.
Yes, the fluke to Aiyuk.
I like that. I might have to take that one because it is a little bit of a jab as well. But nonetheless, Brandon Aiyuk capitalizes on what was probably the most exciting play of the weekend. Don't ask ESPN top 10. Mm-mm. But Brandon Aiyuk capitalizes as the Niners had struggled the entire first quarter to really get things going. Brandon Aiyuk has this incredible play, incredible catch. And here's how it sounded from Greg Papa.
Purdy out of the shotgun, drops a couple of steps, going to take a deep shot to Brandon Aiyuk. It's the flip.
Oh, he caught it!
Caught! Aiyuk caught it out of the air. A flag is also down.
Great. Oh, he caught it.
Oh, he got it.
Oh, he caught it.
I love Tim Ryan. As we've established on this, Tim Ryan can do just absolutely no wrong in my eyes. I shouldn't say that. But anyways, what a great play from Brandon Aiyuk. And there was only two games, that's not the only play that we felt was incredibly important. Usually the drive of the game is talking about some long, methodical drive that led to some game-winning opportunity. Well, in a way, this did lead to the Niners eventually getting the win, but this was absolutely, in my opinion, the most important drive for the Niners. Here's the Jahmyr Gibbs fumble.
Here is Gibbs. Up the middle, he runs into the wall. And the ball came out. Ball is loose. Who's got it? 49ers recover.
just I think that's the play that really, really made it possible for the Niners to win that one. That was when they were down 17-24, and so that was to get the tie, if I'm not mistaken, right?
I believe.
That put them. Yeah, they were down 17-24 at that point. Yeah. And then that was just crazy because they get the ball and they go down and score, and then the next play, it's in their hand. Almost unbelievable. Like
it was.
I was shocked. I didn't even like. It felt so right. It was unbelievable.
It was legitimately one of those things, and I put this for this next play we're going to have, but it was something that legitimately feels like it only happens in Madden. You know, like you're playing Madden, and you're down by a couple scores, and it's like, okay, I'm just going to hit the strip tackle every single time here because I need a turnover. And then for you to get it on the very first play, absolutely insane. The perfect timing of it all just could not have worked out better for the Niners. And yeah, I mentioned the other play that felt like it was straight out of Madden. This play in the Chiefs-Ravens game where the Ravens, I mean, Zay Flowers messed up tons in that game to put them in bad situations, but Zay almost made it up. He dives for the end zone, and then this happens.
Second and 8 from the 9. Jackson to Flowers. He dives. The ball came out. It's recovered by Kansas City. Did the ball come out before he broke the plane?
I think you're right.
They're calling it a second and 8. Call that could determine the whole game right here.
Snead,
it's out.
Who has played as at the highest level this entire season, Jim? Snead has defended the other team's best receiver, traveled with him all year, and he has shut him down week in, week out, and makes the biggest play of the season, getting the ball back for the Chiefs.
It's all
just crazy. again, like something straight out of Madden, where it's complete desperation, literally is diving into the end zone and punches it out perfectly at the one, and then everybody's favorite rule of it being a touchback because they recovered it in the end zone. It's a whole separate thing.
Did Tony Romo play for the Chiefs? Because, man, does he love the Chiefs. That guy
just loves quarterback play. You know?
Bigger blown opportunity. I think I know the answer, but bigger blown opportunity. Ravens or the Lions?
Ravens.
They had home field,
right?
Yeah, they had.
Ravens were the favorite for all playoffs. They're like, this is the team to beat. They're the team.
But would the argument be the Lions because
Lions had it?
Well, they had it, and well, now we know Ben Johnson's staying. But the argument is you might not get the NFC is down.
Yeah,
might not. The Ravens are going to have another opportunity.
The Chiefs scored 17.
Yeah.
The Chiefs scored 17 points. They ran the ball, what, 6 or 8 times in the second half?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Ravens
blew.
The Ravens had it, dude. Lamar throwing that pick.
Yeah.
If you get a field goal there. Speaking of that pick,
here's how it sounded.
Has now reached the Chiefs 25, second and 10. To the end zone again, and it is intercepted. Intercepted by Deion Push. So who just came in 2 plays ago for Mike Edwards.
Lamar throws his helmet. They had 7 minutes almost there. 3 timeouts still. Kansas City had 2, so whatever, but still.
Yeah.
You are in such a good position to win at home in Baltimore. You are the juggernaut. This is your year, right? Everyone's talking about Mahomes is down. This is the year to get Mahomes.
This is the year.
No one can do it, Josh Allen, Lamar.
It's all left to
what happened?
Purdy.
Tua?
Did you see all the memes for Brock Purdy in his outfit coming in?
No, looks like the Kohl's Cash thing.
Looks like he just updated the teams. There's a whole list. Just updated the team software.
Think he's some IT guy coming in.
Someone said he looks like the cool substitute teacher.
He's like an IT bro.
Well, that was a really bad throw.
It's all up to
Brock Purdy now and the San Francisco 49ers to save us from Taylor Swift getting her first Super Bowl ring. Do not put it past the NFL to give her a ring.
They'll probably give her one, win or lose.
There's a lot going on about Travis Kelce possibly popping the question after the game.
I saw that. It's a prop.
You guys ever date a girl for 3 months and then marry her?
It's been longer than 3 months now.
No.
But
no,
less than a year? No. Has it been? Waited very long.
Didn't it start during the year?
It started during the off season. Yeah.
Who's who's your pick for?
I mean, there's one option.
The Fluke to Aiyuk.
Yeah, it's the Fluke to Aiyuk. It's the BA ricochet. It is the immaculate deflection.
It's right here.
Yeah, here's how Purdy,
it's out of the shotgun, drops a couple of steps, going to take a deep shot to Brandon Aiyuk. It's deflected.
Oh, he caught it!
Aiyuk caught it out of the air. A flag is also down. To Brandon Aiyuk. It's deflected.
Oh, he caught it!
Aiyuk caught it out of the air.
Just doing a little remix
just
there.
So excited.
He caught it.
Oh, he caught it.
He caught it.
There you go. There you go.
I don't blame him. It was insane.
The Fluke to Aiyuk. The, what was it? The BA one?
The BA ricochet.
The BA ricochet. I love that as well. That was your Truck Smart Drive of the Week, brought to you by Truck Smart, your premium retailer and installer of truck and SUV accessories for over 30 years. Your truck's going to love them. Got some NFL news here. You have Jerry Jones saying he will not commit to a Dak Prescott contract extension. I thought he just got paid. The foot thing when he broke his foot?
Right,
I thought he just got paid.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. Good on Jerry. And we also have Kellen Moore. Are you worried, Niners fans? Kellen Moore hired as Eagles offensive coordinator. Didn't seem like he really did too much in with the Chargers.
No. No, really didn't seem like he did much of anything. I mean,
and he was a hot name.
He got a lot of credit with the Cowboys, but yeah, didn't seem like that Chargers offense looked much different than how they had in years previous. And you know, that Eagles situation, it'd be tough for it to look as bad as it did last year, as clunky as it did last or this season. But I mean, you know, they just hired a defensive coordinator as well yesterday, right? Didn't they? I can't remember who it was, but it was, we talked about it a bit yesterday. I mean, you know, that's appropriate for how they played this season. It felt like
Vic Fangio.
That's right. He left Miami to go join them. So, you know, it's good on them. They feel like they didn't perform to the level that they should have this year. And, you know, the coordinators are the first thing to go. And we know Nick Sirianni is probably next. So, you know, it's just kind of the order of operations there.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, the Eagles are – I still have question marks about Jalen Hurts, and I've said it time and time again.
Yeah.
That's why when I had question marks about Brock Purdy, it wasn't a Brock Purdy thing. I had question marks about Jalen Hurts, who balled out the season before. But these one-season sample sizes, because who's the next one-season sample size? Jordan Love is up.
Jordan Love.
That's the thing about sitting.
Baker Mayfield, too,
That's the thing about sitting these guys, is you have to make these decisions. And now Jordan Love, hey, he's got to get paid based on the timing and when he played. And he ended on a hot streak, so now he gets paid. And we have no clue what Jordan Love actually is. I think there's something to be worried about if you are an NFC fan.
Yeah, for sure.
But we don't know. Yeah. People thought the same thing about Jalen Hurts. I think that Jordan Love is, it looks like it's more repeatable than what Jalen Hurts did, but who knows? All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, something has happened that has not happened in a very long time, and that's why people need to put some respect on De'Aaron Fox's name. Also, has Lamar Jackson hit his ceiling? Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
This is Sactown Sports.
Kendrick Perkins always has something to say. And this is on one of the shows where he frequents ESPN. Kendrick Perkins says it's time for the Miami Heat and Butler to go their separate ways.
Okay, Kendrick.
I believe the Miami Heat need to do the right thing by Jimmy and trade him to a team that could actually compete for a title this season.
I'm sorry.
The Heat were in the finals.
1 7-game losing streak, and all of a sudden we got to trade Jimmy Butler?
The Heat were in the finals last season.
Yes, yes. They were an 8 seed also last season. So if the argument is they're having a tough regular season, it's clearly a sign that Miami needs to move on. Well, I mean, they were terrible last season throughout the regular season, and then you saw how they turned it on. So, I don't – per usual, I have no idea what Kendrick Perkins is talking about.
So, we also like to joke on this show about Richard Sherman, and clearly we – not about Richard Sherman, who I did see at the game.
Did you really?
I was going to see what's up to him, but he just looked really busy. And not that, you know, I was going to tell him about the joke, but it seems that we are not the only ones that have noticed this changing of the guard with Richard Sherman. Yeah. And right here we have just a random X user who, it looks like Richard Sherman had a deleted tweet where he says, LOL, went to Super Bowl and was pro bowler, all pro. The Seahawks haven't sniffed the promised land since I left. He deleted that. That was January 29th.
Yesterday.
That was yesterday, and it was probably in a response to somebody. So this person takes that screenshot and also posts the video of Marshawn during that Thursday night football where he said, bruh,
right.
What's going
what's
on
the
here?
Issue? Right.
And this guy then tweets, if you just got into football, you'll probably think Richard Sherman won a Super Bowl and made a name for himself with the Niners and not the Seahawks, laughing emoji. Richard Sherman is a clown. Cam Chancellor and Marshawn Lynch would never. So this guy is clearly, he's got the Seahawks logo in his background, clearly a hurt Seahawks fan. Richard Sherman responds to this random person. They don't care about you or the Seahawks, bum. LOL, the Seahawks don't do anything for you but charge you to come to the game. Get a life. Then somebody else responds, you only won a ring in Seattle, Richard. Settle down. Everyone will always remember that. Lost the Niners a Super Bowl, getting burned against the Chiefs. Richard, don't care where I won. Plenty didn't win anything at all for any franchise. Every player that played for the Seahawks before we got there didn't win, so what? They can't rep the team? Shut up. The guy then says, didn't deny my Super Bowl claim. I respect it since you know it's true. Nobody cares if you root for the Niners, but why do you hate the Seahawks for it?
That's the great question.
This is the closing. Yeah. Don't need to deny every idiot thing you say. I don't hate the Seahawks. I talk about them when they are relevant. But keep buying jerseys and support your team.
I think he shows his hate of the Seahawks by talking so much about the Niners.
Yeah, that's kind of a rough look for Sherman. And I know in Ninersville, everybody's going to ride for Sherman. Basically, what I take from that is he essentially said, he kind of told on himself there, no? That right at the end, don't need to deny, you know, I talk about them when they are relevant. So now, if the Seahawks turn this thing around.
Yeah. You're going to be championing the Seahawks?
Yeah, because.
He could. I mean, I guess
he can do whatever he wants.
From his perspective, everyone is gone now. Like, Russ is gone. Pete's gone. I'm sure there's people in the front office that are still there, but from his perspective, I'm sure he's like, yeah, actually, it would be fine. Or it would be more acceptable in his mind.
It just seems a little different. It seems different. Great. The problem is the Niners have been relevant this whole time.
Yeah.
Right? The Seahawks had a wave, and they kind of were still relevant with Russell Wilson. Then that thing went down and tried to make a splash, but they haven't really done much this whole time.
Yeah.
The Niners haven't really dropped off besides those couple years between Harbaugh, when they got from Harbaugh and then eventually got to Shanahan. But Richard was on the team and then finishes, and now the Niners are still relevant, and now he's in the media. So
it feels like we need a 30 for 30 where we get I need Bobby Wagner, Earl Thomas, Cam Chancellor. I need like the defense of that team in a room together, because it is an interesting point that you don't hear Cam Chancellor talking like that.
Cam Chancellor didn't play for the Niners.
No, for sure. But it's forget the Niner element of it.
Okay,
Why do you hate the Seahawks? I mean, I think we understand a little bit why he hates the Seahawks, but why is it running that deep?
What he said in that clip with Marshawn, on air, by the way, when he said, I tore my Achilles and they cut me, and it's like, Richard.
Welcome to professional sports.
Yeah.
Especially football.
Exactly. But if he wants to hold that, that's fine.
I guess, yeah.
But
it felt like it was before that, too. I mean, like.
Nobody liked Russell.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Right? And Marshawn calls Sherman out on air, and Sherman did a pretty darn good job to play it off, but he kept it real. He's just not messing with them. And if that's his bag, I mean, Richard Sherman, smart guy, went to Stanford. So maybe he's to the point now where I'm at such a different point in my life that I don't even walk around. Like, Richard, he might feel like, I get some of the notoriety, or I got jump-started because of my career with the Seahawks and the Super Bowl and the plays I made with the Seahawks.
Right.
But if I don't have a relationship with the Seahawks, I don't got a relationship with the Seahawks.
Right.
Right. And I played with the Niners.
You got to know where, yeah.
And when maybe the Niners were the only team to call me, right? Where maybe the Niners were the only team to come calling them. Like I said, local ties. McCaffrey went to Stanford as well.
Well, and he like gets you to said, with, he's a businessman too. I mean, he's a smart guy too. I
he's
mean,
hitching he's his wagon he, and now
to the good team, right?
To the good team, and now he basically when, said that.
Yeah, when Fox or whoever is going to say, hey, who's like an ex-Niner or like a Niner expert that we can get on? It's the first person they're going to call but Richard Sherman.
Because what that kid said, or what that person said, I don't know if they're a kid, what that person said, oh, if I were just now getting into football, I would think that Richard Sherman had all of his accolades with the Niners. Richard Sherman is like, good, because they're relevant now and the Seahawks are not.
Right.
They don't even have a head coach.
So if I could be known as the Niner guy, that's a pretty good job right now.
Yeah, now I'm trying to compare this to a different situation.
It's tough. I mean, there's not really anybody.
Who's a guy who did most of their accolades with one team.
It would almost be like if Shaq just hated the Lakers and just never talked about the Lakers.
But you have to ride for the Heat?
The Heat or the Magic or something, or the Celtics or the Suns or the Cavs. He's got a lot of different options there. But
it's somebody from the Bulls.
Yeah. Well, and also
it's somebody from the Bulls.
It's the media part of it too.
Is it Steve Kerr? Because Steve Kerr won. The problem is Richard really didn't do much with the Niners.
Jordan loves the Wizards?
No.
You know what it would be like, actually? To the Bulls' point, it would be like Scottie Pippen just championing the Jailblazers like crazy.
Yep.
If he's like, you know what? You know who actually is the team that, you know, nobody talks about? Yeah, you know, whatever. Six rings is fine. Mm-hmm. But like, dude, we had Zach Randolph. We had Arvydas Sabonis. We had David Stoudemire.
But
like,
the Blazers would have to be hot right now.
Yes, exactly. Well, that's kind of where
the Bulls are in the
apart.
Toilet.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Richard and it's almost like an inverse of media marketing.
He's not going to get away from this. And if you figure he responded to this dude, Richard is probably getting this stuff all day long. And yes. I haven't listened to his pod, but I would imagine.
He's on First Take now, too, isn't he? Or on Undisputed,
no, he's on Undisputed
or one of those?
Yeah, I would imagine if he hasn't already addressed this, he will, because he's probably just tired of it. Or maybe he doesn't, because he's Richard Sherman. This is from Michael Baldacci on the Sack Chat. I'm still not sold on Sherman as a diehard Niners fan. The Niners were better to him than he was to the Niners when he played. Now he's all about the Niners, .. Yeah, maybe it's not about the red and the gold. Maybe it's about the green.
Yes, exactly.
That's probably what this is about here.
I can see it. He could turn heel, for sure.
A couple more years.
Go right back to the Crabtree.
Yeah.
Just go right back to it.
You know, guys, right. The Seahawks somehow get Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
They're balling now. The Niners they did their thing. Now it's the Seahawks' turn. You know, guys, when I was with the Seahawks, they are just a class A organization. Richard, if I see you in Vegas, I promise, please come to the show. Please come on the show, Richard. We're just messing around. Got to get to a break when we get back. Crosstalk with the Drive Guys. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
We're back. We're here with one half of the Drive Guys, Whitey Gleason.
Hello.
In a special edition of Crosstalk.
Yeah.
As we have a football feud we want to do.
Yeah. Hey,
bringing it back.
Before we get to that, I want to see what you think of my new idea for a song. It's just an idea.
For a song?
Yeah.
Okay.
Something like, let's see.
You know, Alan's the jingle master.
No, that's, I know.
Yes,
I know.
Yes, no, yes.
Chiefs will never, ever, ever beat the 49ers. You can show your tight end's girlfriend there on TV. But Chiefs will never, ever, ever beat the 49ers.
Wow.
Not bad. Not bad.
I'm into that.
Not bad
I'm
at all.
I'm into that. Now, I like that. Now, the NFL, they'd have to flip that because, you know, the word on the street we're seeing on the text line is that the NFL wants the Chiefs to win for Taylor Swift. The money.
Right.
The money.
Well, aren't they going to win either? I mean, won't they get a lot of money either way?
Just by her being there? That's what I would
think. Yeah.
Well, she is. I saw she's going to be overseas.
Yeah, she's supposed to be in Tokyo the day before and then fly. I really wish I didn't know this information. And then she's going to be flying as quickly as possible to Vegas to try and make the Super Bowl.
Wow.
Yeah, definitely wow. Definitely
she'll
some really interesting
she'll
stuff
She'll be on
there.
Radio Row.
Will she be on Radio Row? There's no way.
We're going to get her.
No we're going to get her. All right.
We'll see.
Look
we'll
forward
see.
To that. All right, welcome to the football feud. It looks like it's going to be you, Mr. Sals, against your good friend
and
partner.
Okay. One-on-one.
Chris Watkins. All right?
Okay.
All right. Now, before I give you the category.
Yeah.
It's going to have to do with teams that have played in the Super Bowl.
Oh, boy.
Before I tell you, I want you to know there's a minimum. You have to have played, to be on this list, you have to have played in at least two Super Bowls, okay? So just so you know.
Okay.
All right? So if you haven't played in two Super Bowls, you cannot be on this list.
Okay.
All right? So everybody ready? Shout your name to buzz in here.
Okay.
When you want to answer, can you name the team with the highest all-time Super Bowl winning percentage?
Chris.
Yes, Chris.
I'm going to go with the, oh my gosh, I shouldn't have done this. I'm going to go with the Indianapolis Colts.
Indianapolis Colts are not in the top six.
that was just a shot in the dark.
Alan, you want to steal?
50%?
Yeah, I'll steal. The Colts, by the way, 500.
Oh, okay.
So they're not on the top six.
I think
six.
It would have to, I think the Cowboys would have to be in there.
Dallas Cowboys are actually,
I was afraid of volume.
They
volume
didn't make
is
the
not
list
your,
either.
It's not your friend here.
They didn't make the list either.
Okay. Well, then I'm going to.
25. So it's back to you, Chris.
I'm going to go with the obvious answer then.
Okay.
I'll go with the New England Patriots.
New England Patriots, they're not on the list either.
Okay.
They're ninth.
What's going on?
At 545.
How okay, they, okay, I got it now.
Okay,
I got it.
This
Steelers.
Is sick. This is sick.
Pittsburgh Steelers?
Yes.
Steelers, 6-2 in Super Bowls, 750 winning
answer.
Percentage. That's the number five answer.
Oh, my gosh.
So that gives you the option now screwed. For the rest of the list, pass or play. Chris Watkins.
What happens if I pass?
If you pass in it, he could run it, run the table and win. But if you pass and then he stumbles, you would have the last chance to scoop and score.
I'm handing off.
All right.
Okay. All right. Well, that was a mistake, let me tell you.
Okay.
I definitely don't have a history of overthinking these things.
And no strike right now, no strikes against anybody.
Okay. Yeah. I will go with the Green Bay Packers.
Green Bay Packers played in five Super Bowls.
Yeah.
They've won four, 800 winning percentage. Whew. Tied for third.
Third?
That's number three answer.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. You're cruising. That's good.
It doesn't feel like it. Okay.
You guys know that Green Bay's third, Steelers fifth, Dallas not on there.
Patriots not
New
on
England
there.
New England not on there, and the Colts not on there.
Not on there.
Yeah.
All right.
Super Bowl teams with the highest all-time winning percentage in Super Bowl
man,
play.
Man, this is so
can
tough.
Can I help?
No.
No, I guess you can't.
No phone and a friend, huh? It'd be okay with me, Nate, but they shot me down.
Oh, well, phoning a friend does sound nice. Let's go with...
I do have to
give me the Chicago Bears.
Chicago Bears.
I don't like that answer, let me tell you.
Yeah, they've only been in the one.
Yeah.
They
let's
won.
Go!
Yeah.
Let's go!
Yeah, it's a strike. Strike.
Wait,
they've been in two.
They've been in two.
Oh.
Well, there you go. They just lost. They've
they're
lost.
One and one.
Yeah,
that's
one
right.
And one.
Yeah, 1-1. I'm sorry.
Okay, so
yeah.
That's
it's
one
the
strike.
Jets are 1-0, and the Saints are 1-0. Pardon me.
Ah,
thank you, Nate.
Okay.
Yeah, and the Bears are 1-1, so that doesn't make the list.
Ooh.
Football feud.
Let's go with the New York Football Giants.
They've played in five. They've won four. 800 winning percentage, tied with the Packers.
Oh my gosh!
So right now,
okay.
You've got two teams tied for number one, and you got number six.
Yeah.
One strike against you.
Bird.
Can I go with the...
And if he can name him, he wins. If he can't,
let's go
scoop with score time.
I know there's at least one loss in here, but there's a couple. Let's go with the Raiders.
The Raiders. They're one of three teams with a 600 winning percentage. It doesn't crack our list. Two strikes against you. Yeah. The Chiefs, Washington, and the Raiders were 600 winning percentage.
Oh, my gosh. Whitey's giving us clues here if you're paying attention. Jeez. Let's go with the Denver Broncos.
Denver Broncos. Oh, they lost a lot of Super Bowls. I'm sorry.
Oh
strike
gosh.
Three and you're out because they were 2-4, I think.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, Alan Stiles.
Mm-hmm. This could still work out for you, Chris.
This could. It definitely could.
Two teams tied like for the best winning percentage in Super Bowl history. One team at sixth. Name any of those teams and you win. If not, Chris is the champion today.
The Ravens.
Baltimore Ravens? Mm-hmm. All right. Sixth on the list, I will tell you, at the bottom of the list here, top six, 5-2 in Super Bowls, the San Francisco 49ers.
Never heard of
14 winning percentage. We have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 2-0, 1,000 win percentage, tied for the best Super Bowl winning percentage of all time with the Baltimore Ravens.
Let's go!
2-0. Congratulations.
Bing bong!
I don't like this game. It doesn't make sense. I didn't understand the rules.
That's why I handed it off to you. Nah. It's just process of elimination.
Nah. I don't like it. Go. Rigged. Rigged.
You didn't know the
under
rules?
Protest. Under protest.
Is there round two?
No, that's it.
Oh, yeah.
That's it for today.
I got like the ring.
It. I don't like it.
I got the championship. I'm really mad about the Bucks, not remembering the Bucks.
I'm not upset at not remembering the Bucks. I just don't think about the Bucks at all.
Yeah, that's true.
That was like the last team that really came to my mind.
Uh-huh.
So we surprised the Vikings aren't on that list.
Woo.
Ofer.
Yeah. Tampa Bay, Baltimore, Giants, Packers, Steelers, 49ers, Dallas, Las Vegas, Washington, Kansas City, New England, and the Colts.
You can put it on the board. It's okay, Chris.
Sorry, Chris.
I don't like this. I don't like this
and
one.
You've actually played. You should have had some
played.
Kind of
I've played
advantage.
Several times.
Yeah. It feels like you did all the work for me.
I literally overthink it every single time without failure.
Who did you say last?
Who did I? I don't know. Broncos.
He went Denver.
That's who. I was going to say Broncos.
Yeah.
If you had said another team, I would have said Broncos and lost.
That makes me feel so much better. I'm glad. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks for telling me that. I needed to hear that right now.
Just a nice W.
Do you guys know if you're gonna watch Super Bowl somewhere? Are you still not sure? Is it gonna be home where you can actually watch?
Yeah. I'm a big watch at home with about as I don't like the Super Bowl party, shocker. I like to watch the game.
Emphasis on watch.
Yes,
yeah.
Watch the game. Yeah. And the halftime is great. I'll pay attention to the halftime, but I don't like, everyone talking and being, talking amongst themselves, and I'm like, I'm really trying to focus on what's going on here. So,
yeah. I'm more of a quiet guy too. I like to just watch it by myself. No, I love the parties. I love the parties. And this will be the first time. I don't know what we're going to do because we have the little one this year.
Where's Alan? He's posting something.
Yeah, exactly. So this will be the first time. This will be the first time we won't continue our tradition of going to a Super Bowl party, but my wife being upset that people aren't being quiet during the halftime performance, which is my favorite thing. When I go to the Super Bowl party, she's just like, why are people talking? I want to hear this.
Yeah.
Well, we should have watched it at home.
Right, exactly.
But we won't be able to do that. I think we might go to a friend's or something like that, but the baby's going to have to nap at some point, so nothing crazy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Buffalo chicken dip, though, at some point. We're not doing it yet, though, Whitey. Well, actually, actually, we can do it later in the week because I don't know how much crosstalk we'll do while we're in Vegas. We got to get your... We're doing the priority list or the hierarchy of Super Bowl food.
Yeah, I don't have a lot there. I'll think on it, but I'm kind of like Chris. It's like, get out of my way.
Okay.
I want to see the TV.
Yeah.
All right. The game's on.
Yeah. Pizza and wings. That's all I need.
People get really mad about the, if it takes, when I watch my food shows and they'll do a Super Bowl special and they'll say, it's tailgate, so you can't use two hands, right? It has to be a finger food for tailgate. And I think, no.
Yeah.
What about the nice tailgates where there's tri-tip and really good food?
The best way to do it, and I've done this a few times, other people have done this, and I was part of it, is when you have a football game the day of. And you're out playing football.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then you go in.
On Super Bowl Sunday?
Yes.
I've never heard of that one.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's fun.
I never heard of that.
The worst thing about when you get older, no one wants to play. Let's go play football.
Right.
No, I don't want to.
Yeah. I might take in a rant. You want to golf? We could golf Sunday.
Golf on Super Bowl Sunday?
Yeah.
We got to wake up at like 6.
You know what? I will say the worst part about Super Bowl Sunday is the pre-show, the like 8-hour pre-game show.
It's already started.
I
think it's funny. Well, not just how long it is, but the panel just keeps getting bigger and bigger.
Yes.
I think Fox is at 8 dudes now, right? And it's just going to keep growing. I want it to keep growing. I want to get to 15 guys where they don't have enough space.
Michael Strand, by the way, did a horrible job.
When?
Presenting the trophy.
Oh, so bad.
Yeah.
So really bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he didn't know anybody's name because he doesn't have anything else to do. And he was supposed to present the trophy.
Yes, exactly.
He was not very good at presenting it either. He was like, "Okay, Joe, here's the trophy. Okay, Joe, can you give it to Jed, please?" And it was like, "All right, Joe, can you stand over here now?
Give me a soda."
Okay.
All right.
What exactly are you doing here?
Thank you for listening to Styles and
Watkins. Congratulations, Alan.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to my W. Thank you for listening to Styles and Watkins. Thank you to Nate Littlefield. Thank you to Chris Biederman. We will be back tomorrow. Listen to The Drive Guys starting right now with Whitey Gleason and Kyle Draper. Until tomorrow, secure the bag, light the beam.